Well, it is a joy to see you this morning, Grace Community Church. Hello. If you're a guest today, we're so glad that you're here. My name is Brandon. I'm the campus pastor here. If I have not met you yet, I would love to meet you in the lobby after the service. That would be so great. Today, we're continuing in our series, Like No Other. In this series, we are walking through the book of Hebrews. We have most of chapters 3 and 4 today, as you could probably tell from the reading. Lots of verses. We're going to try to get all of the main ideas from that. Last week, we talked about the Stanley's chicken sandwich, and we compared Jesus to Moses. And in that comparison, we saw that when we consider Jesus, we find that we have the ultimate hope to boast in, the ultimate help to place our confidence in. Today, we will see that not only does Jesus invite us into hope, but he invites us into rest. Rest. Today, the book of Hebrews is going to give us an unparalleled invitation to rest. First, I'm going to give you a different kind of invitation. Eyes on me. You guys should be responding to an amazing invitation right now. Like, why is no one clamoring for the offer that I just made? Well, a couple of reasons why you might not be responding. First, you might not understand the offer. Or there might be a few of you who did understand the offer but don't believe the offer. Here's the thing. 8 years ago, my wife and I adopted our daughter Joy from China. She was born deaf. So we learned sign language. She now, for years, has been able to hear well with a hearing aid. So I've forgotten a lot of what I knew from sign language, but I still know enough to tell you that I'm Joy's daddy, and I love you so much. I have all the chocolate cake in the world for you. If you want all the chocolate cake in the world, tell me now. And nobody said anything. And the offer's revoked. It's an amazing offer. It's incredible. But to receive all the chocolate cake in the world, you have to understand the offer, you have to believe the offer, and you have to respond to the offer. And that's what we get to do today in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 as we look at the offer from the God of the universe to give us rest. He wants to give his people rest. My prayer is that we understand his offer of rest, that we believe it, and that we respond to it together every day. So we're going to begin in verse 9 of Hebrews 4, which we just read, so that we can understand God's amazing offer of rest. And let me read this verse for us. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So beautiful. That is infinitely better than chocolate cake. We are a people who want rest, who need rest. God offers rest. So let's understand the offering. And first, like the offer of the chocolate cake, we need to remember that this offer of rest came first in a different language. The New Testament was written mostly in Greek, and there's something really special about this verse in the original language. The word there for Sabbath rest does not seem to exist anywhere else in the history of the Greek language. It is a uniquely Christian word. It is our word. It is our offer. So the writer of Hebrews invented a word. in order to communicate the unique rest that God offers his people. The word is sabbatismos. I'm not going to ask you to say it. It's a little bit of a mouthful. But sabbatismos is a word the writer of Hebrews coined in order to tie the rest that God wants to give his people to the rest that God modeled for his people when he was creating the world, as we just read. God modeled 6 days of creation work, and then he rested, but he didn't stop working. Because he's still working right now, redeeming all over the world today. But he rested into a different kind of work. So what then does sabbatismos really offer us? Well, I read a bunch of explanations of this sweet word this week, and I'm going to share a couple of my favorites with you. Look what is offered to you in Jesus. First from scholar Leon Morris. He writes, there is a sense in which to enter Christian salvation means to cease from one's work and rest securely on what Christ has done. Yes and amen. And there is a sense in which the works of the believer, works done in Christ, have about them that completeness and sense of fulfillment that may be fitly classed with the rest in question. So sabbatismos, or Sabbath rest, means that we do rest in Jesus for our salvation, and that that rest can bring a sense of completeness and fulfillment in everything we do in him today. It's pretty great. Here's Herschel Harbs, speaking of the same rest. Christians are urged to achieve a sabbatismos, or a Sabbath kind of rest. In it, they shall rest from their works as God does from his. But it will not be a cessation of activity. Their rest will be from the struggle to attain their destiny. How many of us have felt the struggle to attain our destiny? We've struggled to attain our eternal destiny. We've struggled to attain our this afternoon destiny and everything in between. But the Sabbath rest that God offers means that once we are in Jesus, not only will we receive eternal rest, but even our work now can be rest because we rest in the work of the one who is like no other. What John Piper said so simply of Sabbath rest is that pervading all our work, we are restful in Christ. The Sabbath rest then isn't an invitation to nothingness. It's an invitation out of the futility of our own self-reliance and into the promise of God's goodness. So what does that look like? What does it look like to work while resting in God's work? I want to invite my youngest daughter up to the stage. Come on, Dewey. Come on, Dewey. So this is my youngest daughter, Dewey. She is going to help me make coffee here in a moment. So for about 5 years, I've been bringing my wife, Scarlett, coffee first thing almost every morning. Just want to point out, she does not require this of me. I love doing it. And a few years ago, it became something my youngest daughter, Dewey, and I have done together so many times. So Dewey and I are going to make coffee for mommy right now as a picture of the Sabbath rest that God invites his people into. You ready? Okay. In all of our work, we can rest. In all of God's work, we're going to make the coffee. All right, Dewey. You got this, Dewey. Why don't you put some creamer in there, Dewey? You're going to do so good, Dewey. Little creamer in there. She asked for a little more after the last service. A little more creamer there. There you go. That's so great. Great job, Dewey. Now you want to put a pod in here. Grab one of those decaf pods right there. Put the pod in. You want to close the lid there, Dewey. You're doing so great. Push that 8, Dewey. You got the 8. Can you see it? Can you push the K too, Dewey? Dewey's making coffee. Now, Dewey has seen me make coffee hundreds of times. I have made coffee thousands of times. Dewey and I have made coffee hundreds of times. Dewey's making the coffee. Dewey, you're doing so great making the coffee. Dewey, you want to stir that coffee? By the way, when I told her last night what I was going to do, she said, you're saying my name a lot. And I am. Make that coffee, Dewey. You're doing so great. I love you, Dewey. You're so pretty, Dewey. I'm so proud of you. You're my favorite coffee maker. I love you so much. She's going to take this to Mommy when it's done. And Mommy will, I guess, drink a third cup of coffee since this is the third service. Great job. Great stirring. Great coffeeing. Okay. You want to take that to her? Thank you so much. Good job, Dewey. Thank you, Dewey. So, did Dewey do the work of making coffee? She did. And did Dewey rest in her father's work as she made the coffee? She wasn't worried about that coffee going great. Daddy knows how to make coffee. Daddy made coffee every day. Daddy's made coffee with her every day. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works. You can make the coffee because God is making the coffee. It's the message of the Christian life. So the offer of the Sabbath rest is life-changing, but you don't get the rest if you don't trust the one who offers it. Unless you trust in the power of the great coffee maker of heaven and earth, you will keep trying and failing to make coffee on your own. So the question really ends up being, do you believe that God can and do, can and will do the work that he can do, or is it up to you? Is he really the giver of the rest, or are we? So here's the key thing that I want you to take with you today. The main thing. Doubting God is the way to the wilderness, but trusting God is the way to rest. Doubting God is the way to the wilderness, but trusting God is the way to the rest. Look at chapter 3, verse 7 to see this with me. Therefore, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your father put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. That is a strong warning of restless unbelief. And it's like a Russian doll of Bible study. And by that I mean it's a verse about a verse about another verse. Specifically, it's Hebrews 3 quoting Psalm 95, referencing Numbers 13. So, to understand why the writer of Hebrews is telling us that doubting God is the way to the wilderness, we need to actually go back to the wilderness in Numbers 13. So remember last week when we were looking at the ministry of Moses, we were reminded that in the Old Testament, God made the Israelites his people, and he said he would be their God, and he promised them their land, and he gave them the law, right? Y'all remember that? Nobody remembers it. This is great. See, this is why I'm here to remind you. We did see that last week. When he gave them the law, he had just rescued them out of enslavement in Egypt. They had been captives. Their lives were forced labor, forced work. They needed to be rescued. And through mighty miracles, God uses Moses as the rescuer to lead his people out of the work camps of Egypt. God's people were dying, slaves in a country that were not their own. And God sent a rescuer to say to them, I'm going to lead you out and to the promised land that flows with milk and honey, right? God was saying, I'm going to lead you out of the slavery of your work and into the promised land of rest. But when they got there and saw the promised land, they refused to go in. This is Numbers 13:30. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out. This is the core of our problem. Their report on the promised land of rest was, they are stronger than we are. So they wouldn't go. They didn't trust the work of God on their behalf. They acted like they had to make the coffee themselves. They acted like they had to fight the giants themselves. These Israelites have been rescued from Egypt in miraculous ways. The 10 plagues, the Red Sea, over and over again, they've seen the supernatural and gracious provision of a mighty God on behalf of his people, and they arrive at the land that he's promised them, and this is their response. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Doubting God is the way to the wilderness. Distrusting God is rejecting rest, because when we leave God out of the picture, there's no one left to do the work but us, and we can't do the work. Somehow, God's presence with his people doesn't appear to even factor into the decision that they made about the promised land. Where's God? And so often, we too leave God out of many moments of our lives. What do we focus on instead? Our strength, or our weakness, or our challenges that we face. But doubting God's power and goodness means choosing the unending wilderness of our own insufficient work. It's the self-reliant self-destruction of the human heart. You know what it sounds like? Sounds like, if I don't get the coffee made, nobody's making the coffee. If I don't face the giants, they're not going to be defeated. If I don't live the Ten Commandments, Jesus isn't going to save me. If I don't make the perfect decision, God is going to write me off. That's us. That is what we sound like so much of the time. And the Israelites didn't trust God to handle the enemies in the promised land, so they didn't obey God's command to enter the promised land. And look at God's response in verse 21 of Numbers 13. None of the men, God said, who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give their fathers. And none of those who despised me shall see it. When the moment came to enter the promised land of rest, God, people, they doubted his power, they doubted his provision, choosing instead to focus on their own strength, and so they disobeyed, and they did not enter the rest. They remained in the wilderness. They remained in the desert. And you know what the desert meant? It meant more working, more worrying, more wondering why God hasn't saved them, when all they had to do was believe that the battle wasn't up to them and let God do what only God can do. Doubting the heart of God always leads the hard work to us. Whether that means the work of our salvation, which we could never do on our own, or the work of our sanctification, which we could never do on our own, or the work of our serving, which we could never do on our own, or the work of our living, which we could never do on our own. Find it. You can't do it on your own, but we try. So whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian here listening right now, every day is a good day to ask yourself, where in my life am I choosing to believe in me instead of trusting in God? Salvation, sanctification, serving, tomorrow, wherever that is, that giant will always be stronger than you, and it'll never be stronger than Jesus. Doubting God is the way to the wilderness, but trusting God is the way to rest. Trusting God is the only way to the rest that he wants to give. Look at verses 2 and 3 of Hebrews chapter 4. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. We enter the rest. But in the desert in Egypt, the people of Israel did not enter the rest because they did not obey, because they did not believe that God's work for them was enough. They tried to make the coffee themselves. They acted like the battle was up to them. We are so often the same way. And let me show you what it sounds like using me, but you know how to use you. You got to do this, Brandon. Y'all heard that voice, only with your name in it? You better be strong enough, Brandon. Your salvation is up to you, Brandon. This church is up to you, Brandon. Do better, Brandon. Work, Brandon. Fight, Brandon. The only way out of the wilderness is you, Brandon. And I know I'm using my name, but I know you know how to fill in the blank with yours. We were all born into the wilderness of self-reliance. And sometimes, even after Jesus, we lead ourselves again into the wilderness of self-reliance, and it never works. And incredibly, the writer of Hebrews says, somehow still, the Sabbath rest, the Sabbatus mas, remains for the people of God. Hebrews is saying that the Sabbath rest from our own futile work still is available, and into God's perfect forever work. It's still, we can rest in his work if we will trust in his work. And what is the work that we trust in? That he loves us, that he is for us, that he is powerful, that he is undefeatable. He's undefeatable and for us. We who have believed, he can make the coffee. We who have believed enter that rest. He to the death and forever has committed to taking care of us. So our little baby James will turn one in just a couple of days, which means we don't know a lot about him yet, but here's two things we know for sure. He loves the Miss Rachel TV show, and he loves the TV remote control. So on screen is a picture of him holding a teething toy remote that looks exactly like the real remote because we bought him the toy remote because he always grabs the real remote. More than anything seemingly in the world, he wants to get his hands on the remote all the time. If he sees that control, he's going to try to get it. But here's the thing, he's a baby. He's terrible with the remote control. He could work every waking moment for a month, and he will never set his eyes on Miss Rachel. His work is not the work that matters. His control is not the control that accomplishes. James's only hope to rest in the wonder of Miss Rachel is to learn to trust in the power of mommy. You know what's going to happen in the next few years? This is not our first baby, I know. James is going to spend a lot of time with mommy. And slowly he will figure out that mommy knows what she's doing. He will watch mommy and see that she knows which buttons to push. She knows where Miss Rachel is. He will watch mommy and she will come through for him over and over again. And he will learn that trusting mommy is the way to Miss Rachel. And that is what God is offering us when he invites us to Sabbath rest. The more we learn to trust in his love and power, the more we will experience his pervasive rest in all our work. We who believe enter the rest. when we trust in Him, we rest in Him. So that takes us to what we can do to experience God's Sabbath rest. Doubting God is the way to the wilderness. Trusting God is the way to rest. And God's word and God's people help us trust in God's work. We can't make the coffee ourselves. We can't fight the giants ourselves. But there is still something for us to do. Look at chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter the rest. So beautiful. This is after what we've already read. The Sabbath rest remains. Those who believe in Jesus rest from their works because of His finished works. But let us strive, therefore, to enter the rest. So beautiful. Strive to enter the rest. What do we strive for? Okay, I'm going to give you a second chance. What do we strive for? What do we strive from? We strive for rest from rest, which means that our striving, as we trust in God's work, our striving is really about remembering His striving. Our effort is about being positioned to trust His effort. Our working is about resting in His working. So what effort could we possibly give to help us rest in what He does? Well, just like James needs to get close to his mommy so that he can learn she can conquer the remote, we need to get close to Jesus so we can learn that He can conquer anything and everything. And that's why the writer of Hebrews compels us to do two things as we strive to enter God's rest. We are told to hear God's word and be with God's people, because there we will see the goodness and the power of God that leads us to trust in the sufficiency of God. Hebrews 3:7 says, "Today, if you hear His voice," 4:7 says, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Guys, Hebrews is saying that God has given us His word. He has given us His voice to hear so that we can know Him, and in knowing Him, know that we can trust Him. And here's what the Bible does. The Bible also tells you not only what He is like, but the Bible tells you when you are living like He is not what He is like. When you stop believing that He is who He says He is and does what He says He does, the Bible is the one that says, Sabbath rest remains, but you have to rest from your own work. God's word always tells us the glorious truth that God is unshakably for us in Jesus Christ, and He's literally already won the victories that matter the most. You know what it sounds like when we hear God's voice? It sounds like Hebrews 12:2, which we won't get to in this series till next year, so it's fine for me to read it today. Sounds like this: "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the" what? The cross. Jesus has already conquered on the cross all the giants that matter most. He's already conquered the giants of sin and death and hell and wilderness. Every time you hear God's word, it will say something like we saw last week in Hebrews 3. "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." Which means every time that you look anywhere you want in Scripture, every time you find it, you will hear something like, "Jesus is enough for you. Jesus is enough for you. Jesus is better. Jesus did the work. Jesus did the striving." God's word over and over again sounds like this: Jesus has already given you the chocolate cake, and He's given you the chocolate cake. He's already made the coffee, and He's making the coffee. He's already slain the giants, and He's slaying the giants. Christian, don't go to the wilderness. That's what the voice of the Lord sounds like in his word. Going to God's word is like little James sitting next to his mommy every day and seeing her push all the right buttons. Every day, seeing that mommy knows and mommy loves. God's word will help you believe that God knows and God loves. It will show you every time, not only that you can't face your own giants, but Jesus already has. So go to God's word to trust in God's work, and we go to God's people. This is so beautiful. I'm so glad I get to share this with you. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another, encourage one another every day. You know what this is saying? This is saying that the Sabbath rest is a team sport. This is saying that sometimes we have to help each other out of the wilderness and back into the arms of Jesus. That sometimes one of our brothers and sisters is going to be beat up and bloody because they just won't stop facing the giant on their own, and it never works. Sometimes the Christian life means exhorting each other toward the rest of God and away from the hard heart of self-reliance. How beautiful. I told you two Sundays ago, I shared with you that my wife nearly died in our first pregnancy, and I want to reflect on it again because it's helpful here as it might be fresh in your minds. But her insides ruptured. She was bleeding internally. She was stiff with pain, screaming. She could hardly move. She couldn't fix it. She wasn't going to make it on her own. Thankfully, I was with her. She wasn't alone. But you know what? I couldn't heal her either. I didn't have the power to fix what was broken either. But I knew someone could, and I thought, we'll go there. And I carried her into the hospital. And I carried her to the one who could put her back together. That's often what the Christian life is like. We don't have the power to fix each other any more than we have the power to fix ourselves, but we know where to go. Sometimes you need me to carry you to Jesus, and sometimes I need you to carry me to Jesus. But what happens if you don't have anyone to exhort you, if you don't have anyone to carry you? You stay in the wilderness. You stay alone, striving in your work, your own struggle that's never enough. That's why God calls us to be the community together around his word so that we can take turns turning each other's hearts back to Jesus. So you might be thinking right now, I don't have anyone to do that for me. Thank God we can help each other. In 2 weeks, on October 26th, during the 11 a.m. service, we are starting something called Discover Groups. There are many people in our church that do not have a group of Christian brothers and sisters. You don't have anyone who will help you to Jesus. If you're not in a group at Grace, maybe you've never been in one before, maybe you're just not right now, I want to encourage you not to walk in the wilderness alone. On screen, you'll see a QR code that you can register for Discover Groups. Discover Groups is going to be an easy, low-risk way to begin experiencing the power of Christian community. It's led by a couple of our elders. I will be there as much as I can for it. This is so important for your spiritual life, is to be with a group of people who will exhort you. You can also text Discover Group to the phone number on the screen. I want to see more phones coming out. Come on, get out the phones and register for Discover Groups. I tried a ditty in the last service. It was better. I couldn't remember it. If you were here both services, you agree. The first First service is better. You don't have to walk this life alone. You don't have to work this life alone, and you can't. Let's go to God's word together, helping one another towards the life in Jesus as we learn to trust him. So you know what Jesus would say? I've been trying to speak on his behalf for about 30 minutes. But we actually know what Jesus would say about this because he said it. So let's finish with him from Matthew 11. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus, I pray that you would help us. Help us in our weakness. Help us in our self-reliance to believe that you want to and can give us Sabbath rest. You want to give us forever eternal rest. You want that forever eternal rest to shape how we experience everything that we experience in this life. God, I pray that you would save us from our sins and save us from our striving after our own destiny every day. God, I pray that we would joyfully make the coffee knowing that you're making the coffee. That we would joyfully go to work tomorrow knowing that you're doing the work tomorrow. I pray that we would love our families knowing that you love us. God, I pray that we would walk through sickness knowing that you've walked through death and that you give the victory. God, I pray that we would walk through weakness, through questions, knowing that you're standing right there with literal salvation and resurrection power, saying, "You are my son, you are my daughters, rest from your work." A Sabbath rest remains. And for that, we say thank you. Jesus, you're the best thing that has ever happened to anybody. Thank you for loving us and help us to love you more. In your name we pray, amen. Let's stand and let's sing to Jesus together.